Good morning. Open your Bibles with me to Psalm 46. While you're turning there, I haven't heard from our pastor today, but the last couple days, I know that they're trying to manage his pain, but he has managed to get a couple nights of sound like pretty good sleep compared to what he's been having. So, encouraged by that, and he has a appointment tomorrow in Lexington. So let's continue to keep him in our prayers. And then next Sunday, Lord willing, Luke Coffey from Kingsport will be here to preach for us. I'm scheduled to preach for Brother Tom Harding down in Pikeville. So Tom's taking some vacation. I think he rarely does that. So anything we can do to help him take a little time off. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here as a people. Lord, we pray you bless us with your presence. Lord, that you would bless the preaching and hearing of your word. Lord, who's sufficient for these things to handle thy word? Lord, we beg of thee. Lord, bless us with your presence here this morning. Lord, for those of our number who are in a time of trouble and difficulty, Lord, we pray you'd comfort and strengthen your people. Lord, encourage us through thy word and encourage us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for our pastor, Lord, that you would be with those who attend to him tomorrow. Lord, give them wisdom. Lord, we pray that you would comfort him and strengthen him. Lord, cause him and cause us all to rest in thee and thee alone. Lord, for our young people, Lord, we thank you for these many young ones you've blessed us with. Lord, we pray that you would, Lord, protect them and keep them in this world. Lord, above all, that you would be merciful. Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them in mercy and truth. Lord, that you'd be merciful to our children. Now again, we thank you for your many blessings. Above all, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us to know him. Lord, how we thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Lord, for righteousness that we have in our Savior. Now again, bless us this day. Bless us in this hour of worship. Lord, be pleased to dwell among your people. Set aside the thoughts of this world. Let us see Christ, for It's in His name we pray and give Thee thanks. Amen. Have a special and sacred.
Teach me Thy way, O Lord, teach me Thy way. Thy guiding grace afford, teach me Thy way. Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight. Lead me with heavenly light, teach me Thy way. When I am sad at heart, teach me Thy way. When earthly joys depart, teach me Thy way. In hours of loneliness, in times of dire distress, in failure or success, teach me Thy way. When doubts and fears arise, teach me Thy way. When storms o'erspread the skies, teach me Thy way. Shine through the cloud and rain, through sorrow, toil, and pain. Make Thou my pathway plain, teach me Thy way. As my life shall last, teach me Thy way. Where'er my lot be cast, teach me Thy way. Until the race is run, until the journey's done, until the crown, teach me Thy way.
Thank you, girl. Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, we're going to look at the first four verses here this morning. The title of the message is, I Will Deliver You. Look beginning in verse 1. Baal boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy laden. They're a burden to the weary beast. They stoop. They bow down together. They could not deliver the burden. But themselves are going into captivity. Now this is a reference to the fall of Babylon by Cyrus. Back in chapter 21 and verse 9 of Isaiah, we read Babylon is fallen. And all these idols, all these false gods cover the ground, broken in pieces. The victors are going around gathering them up, not to save them for anything, but just for the value of them, the gold that was in them. And here in our text, they were loaded upon these beasts and cattle to carry them off. They were loaded up, and so much was on those wagons, so much was put on those beasts, they couldn't bear the load. They could not carry it. It says they stooped down, and these things were knocked down. They were knocked over and broken. These idols could not deliver the people. Here, imagine all these idols just laying around on the ground. And people were counting on these idols to deliver them, to save them, but they could not. They couldn't deliver themselves, let alone the people. And they were a burden to the animals that were trying to haul them off, to carry them off. And look at the description of these idols in verses 5 through 9. Look there in Isaiah 46, beginning with verse 5. To whom will you liken me and make me equal? And compare me, that may be likened. They lavish gold out of the bag. They take gold out of a bag and weigh silver in the balance, and they hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him, set him up in his place, and he standeth. And from his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I'm God, and there is none else. I'm God, and there is none like me. Remember this. He says, you keep this in mind. Bring it again to the mind of the transgressors. An idol. An idol is nothing more than the works of a man's hands. He says he goes out there and he takes his bag of gold and he finds someone to melt that down and fashion it into an idol. That idol can do nothing. That idol cannot save itself. I remember, I think Dan Culver was telling this. I can't remember this for sure. But he talked about working at the car lot, and they brought in a man's car to work on it. And there was some kind of object laying up there on the dash. And the service manager took it, and he put it in the glove box. He didn't want to tip off the dash, fall off, and get broken. And when the fella come to pick up his car, he was all tore up about it. He was very distressed about it. What have you done with my God? What have you done with him? And they said, well, we whatever it was, we put it there in the glove box. He said, it suffocated me. You can't. Now, you think about that. And we laugh and we giggle about that, but you think about that. What kind of God can you put in a glove box? What kind of God do you have to worry about suffocating? And that's the God that men worship. Huh? I'd be concerned about a God I could stick in a glove box. But most of what's worshipped in our world today could probably be stuffed in the glove box and just left there and could do nothing about it. They can't save themselves. They can't save those that worship them. They're useless. They're a false refuge. A man makes him. That's what he says here. A man makes that idol and he sets it on the shelf. And it sits there until he goes over and picks it up and moves it somewhere else. It's like a decoration in our house. It's like this vase up here. That vase will just sit there until somebody picks it up and moves it or changes the flowers in it. And that's what men worship. Their idols are silver and gold. They're the works of man's hands. It's what man does. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses, but they smell not. Hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. And they that make them are just like them. That's from Psalm 115, verse 4. I was, sometimes at home when I study, I'll look things up on the computer. And I thought I was typing this into my little Bible app, but I typed it on Google. I just put a few of those words in there and trying to find out where that verse was found. And I came across something very similar, very similar. And this is what it said. This was a Catholic prayer. Now listen to this. And this is what it said. They say Christ has no body but yours. No hands but yours. No feet but yours. Your eyes are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ must look. Yours are the feet with which He's about doing good. Yours are the hands with which He blesses His people. They call that a prayer. God's Word says that's idolatry. That's nothing more than pure idolatry. That's an idol. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he said, we know that an idol is nothing. Nothing. In this world, listen, there's no God but one. That's the God of the Bible. And listen, an idol, Isaiah says, remember this. We have to be reminded, warned about idolatry. And listen, our sinful nature is drawn to it. Just like those flies are drawn to the light out on the porch. By our sinful nature, we're drawn to these things. That's why we have to continually be warned. That's why he said, tell the people, remind them. When we rest in anything but Christ, we're looking to an idol. When we rest in anything but Him, we're looking to an idol. Your service, your church membership, your giving, your doing whatever it might be, you're refraining from doing something, anything that takes our eyes off of Christ. Our works, what we do for a living, could become easily become an idol. Our children could become an idol. Anything, whatever it might be, that takes our eyes off of Him. And listen, an idol cannot deliver you. An idol cannot deliver us. And these idols aren't always 90 feet tall and coated in gold. They're not always that obvious. Remember Nebuchadnezzar the king? He made that idol of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth was 6 cubits. It was 90 feet tall. That would be pretty obvious. That's an idol. But everything has become an idol in our day. You know, even Calvinism has become like a trendy thing in our day. Spurgeon is commonly quoted by, it seems like, everybody. But you know, if you listen close enough, works always seem to filter their way in. It's often subtle, but it's there. It's usually this: Christ plus something. However small it might be, Christ plus something. Taking what God has said and adding to it, even just the smallest amount. Or many times it's not what's added, but it's what's conveniently left out. What men will conveniently forget to say, just to make things a little more palatable. You know, not things like this. Man's sin. What happened in the garden? Did he stumble or did he fall? We know the answer to that, don't we? He fell. He absolutely fell. Dead. We're dead in trespasses and sin. What about God's holiness? Is God, He's either absolutely holy or He's not God. God is absolutely holy. How about His sovereignty? God's sovereignty. Men will acknowledge pretty easily God's sovereignty in creation. Oh yeah, God created everything. They'll acknowledge his sovereignty in providence, the things that occur in this world. What about salvation? God's absolute sovereignty in salvation. He's either absolutely sovereign in salvation, or he's not God. God rules and reigns over all things. If we're saved, it's because he saved us. How about Christ's sacrifice? Did Christ's sacrifice completely put away our sin? Yes. Yes, it did. Christ plus nothing. God doesn't need anything from us to make that sacrifice effectual. His sacrifice saves. What men leave out. Satan did that in the garden. He said, "You shall not surely die." Matthew 24:24. Our Lord speaking to his disciples. He said, "There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they'll show great signs and wonders, insomuch, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect of God. But they cannot deceive God's elect." These false gods, these idols, they cannot deliver. They're dependent upon man. That's why men like them so much. They're dependent upon me. "Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save." A false god cannot save. Now back to our text here in Isaiah 46. Look at verse 3. "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel." Hearken unto me. Listen to what I'm saying here. You know, there's a lot of folks talking in our world. There's a lot being said, but there's not much worth here in our time. He says, "Hearken unto me." You know, our generation is subjected to so many things on TV and on the computer. And is this true or is this not true? This is true. God's word is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. He says, "Hearken unto me." Listen to what I have to say. This is the Lord speaking. This is Almighty God speaking. Isn't that who? Don't we want to hear what He has to say? Don't we want to know what the Lord has to say? In Psalm 85, "I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. He'll speak peace unto His people. He'll speak peace unto His people and to His saints. But let them not turn again to folly." Hearken unto me. Over in the book of Hebrews, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." What does He have to say? Huh? "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel." You know who's going to hearken? You know who's going to listen? It tells us right here, that remnant. That remnant, according to the election of grace. His church will hear. His people will hear. His elect. The remnant according to the election of grace. His sheep will hearken. Now there are those who will not. We've got friends. We've got family members who have no interest in what God's word says. But His sheep will hear. Our Lord speaking to the Jews over in John 10. Turn over to John 10. The Jews gathered around Him. They said, "How long? How long are you going to make us to, to, to doubt. How long are you going to keep us in suspense over this thing? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And look at verse 25. Jesus answered them. He said, I told you, and you believe me not, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not my sheep. As I said unto you, but listen, look at verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice. They hear me. They hearken unto me. They listen. And he says, I know them. I know them and they follow me. Who does? His sheep do. My sheep do. Back to Isaiah. Verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Now, as sinners, we know this. We're sinners by birth, born in sin. David wrote over in Psalm 58, verse 3, he said, the wicked are estranged from the womb, and they go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Out, Lyndon, they're going to have a little one here before too long. There's a lot of things they'll have to teach that little one. But you know one thing they will not have to teach him? They will not have to teach that little baby how to lie. We know that. We know how to do that as soon as we're born. But his sheep, he says they're born from the belly. They're carried from the womb. Born and carried. The Lord Jesus Christ, he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. And as a child, as an infant, they can do nothing. They must be carried. He bears them up and he carries them. He bears us up and he carries us. Now, I was thinking about this, and I know this is hard to imagine, but Isaac and Brady, and this has been seems like just a little while ago. I know it's been a few years back, but Abby and I were at Dollywood, and we had got there early, and we had stayed all day long. We had took in everything we could take in that day, and when we come out, you line up for that tram to get a ride back to the cars, and that line was long, and it was cold out. We were tired. We couldn't wait to get to Pizza Hut. We just wanted to get them in the car and just get home. And we looked at that line, and then we looked out in the parking lot. And I think we were in tram stop C. It was a good ways out, but we said, let's just take them. So Abby gathered up all the stuff, and I gathered up both the boys, and we start walking. And we look over, and we see those trams just keep going by, and we think, well, maybe that was the way to go. But carried those boys, pulled them in tight, and carried them all the way back to the car. And we loaded them up, and we went on our way. Now, wouldn't it be absurd to think, now, they were little. I mean, they were maybe 4 or 5 years old, maybe younger than that. Wouldn't it be absurd to think they would have carried me? I mean, what if we'd have just said that? Boys, we're in a hurry here. Why don't you carry me and Mom? Wouldn't that be absurd? That's just foolish talk, isn't it? Well, he carries his children. That's what we do. We carry our children, don't we? They don't carry us. The Lord carries his children. How foolish. How foolish to think that he needs us for anything, that we would carry. God's not carried by his children. He bears them up. He bears us up and he carries us. One of the old writers said this, we're poor, weak, helpless creatures like newborn babes and cannot go alone. We must be carried. And listen, in his providence, his people, his sheep, he's our God from our mother's belly. He carries us as infants through our years as youngsters. as men, even to old age, he never leaves nor forsakes his people. Isn't that a comforting thought? Isn't that something we forget? We tend to forget. We have to be reminded. We have to be told again. But he carries us. And he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now back to our text. Hearken unto me. Hearken unto God, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by him and carried from the womb. Look at verse 4. Even to old age. When the eyes grow dim, when the ear is heavy, when our arms tremble, in that day of decline and decay and ultimately death. He said, even to old age, even though I am he. David said, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Forever. Even to old age, I am he. Even to your gray hairs will I carry you. The old hymn writer said this, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far. Grace that'll lead me home. He said, I've made thee. I'll bear thee. I'll carry thee. Is it evident whose work this is? Whose work? He says, I am he. I have made thee. I will bear thee. I will carry thee. What are we doing in all this? Resting in him. The work is his. I've made thee. We read that it pleased the Lord to make you his people. I have made thee. The Lord Jesus Christ was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I have made thee, he said. And know this. Know this, the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We're his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. He said, I'll bear thee. I'll carry thee. That Samaritan over there in Luke, he found a certain man and he was stripped and wounded and he was left half dead. Now that's not the description. We're found completely dead, aren't we? But he found him there, and the priest passed by, and the Levite passed by. But that Samaritan came to where he was. We read, he came to where he was. He saw him, and he had compassion on him. And he bound up his wounds, and he poured in oil and wine, and he put him up on his beast, and he carried him. Carried him to that end. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 4. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders. He picks it up and he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Or he bears that lost sheep on his shoulders and he carries it. He carries it home. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Now back to our text. Let's close with this final point. From the belly. He says, from the belly to old age, I am he. I'll carry you. He said, I've made you. I'll bear you. And then he says this, I will deliver you. Those idols in verse 1 and 2, they couldn't deliver themselves. they could not deliver the people. Idolatry. False religion would have man deliver himself. How foolish. But the God of the Bible, the God we read, this sovereign God that we read of in His Word, He delivers His people. He delivers them completely. He said, I will deliver thee. Back in Daniel 6, I won't have you turn there, but King Darius had set over his kingdom 120 princes. And over these princes, he had three presidents. And Daniel was the one the king loved. He was going to make him king over all of it. He respected Daniel. We read that there was an excellent spirit found in him. And those other presidents, they became jealous. They heard of what was happening, what the king's thoughts were. And they came up with a scheme to get rid of Daniel. And they flattered the king. They came up, they said, O king, live forever. They flattered the king. And playing on his pride, they convinced him to set in place a law that if any person in the kingdom made a request, made a prayer to anyone but the king, that he'd be cast into the den of lions. And they did this. They did this to trap Daniel. They knew that Daniel went into his house three times today to pray unto God. And Daniel prayed, and after this law was set in motion, Daniel prayed and he gave thanks to God just as he had done every day before that. And he didn't try to hide it either. He said he left the curtains of his house open. He wasn't hiding what he believed or who he believed. And these men, of course, ran and told on him. And Darius was, the king was displeased with himself. He was in verse 14 of Daniel 6, we read that the king was, he was sore displeased. He was very displeased with himself. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He said, how can I deliver him? And we read he labored to the going down of the sun. And there was no way. There was no way for the king to deliver him. Now, this was a foolish law. Everybody would agree with that. But nevertheless, it was still a law. And I don't read where Daniel said, Oh, king, this is a foolish law. How can you punish me for this? No. No. Can you let this slide? Not just this once? I mean, after all, I'm your favorite president. No. And though the king's efforts were sincere, even the king himself desired to deliver Daniel, he could not deliver him. Man cannot deliver Daniel. Listen, the law cannot deliver Daniel. That law can only do one thing, and that's condemn. The law of the Medes of Persians, which altereth not, it doth not change. It can only condemn. Listen, there's only one who can deliver. Oh, King Darius, when they put Daniel in that den, he went to him and he said this. He yelled in through that stone. He said, The God, thy God, Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. What did our text say in Isaiah 46? He says this, I will carry and I will deliver you. I will deliver you from affliction, from temptation, from the hand of the enemy, from falling, from this body of sin and death, from the grave and wrath to come. How? In Christ. By Christ. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. 'Tis the grandest thing. Let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith. He'll make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age, I am he. Even to your hoar hairs, even to your gray hairs, will I carry you. He said, I'll carry you. I've made you. I'll bear you. I'll carry you. And he says this, I will deliver you. Oh, may God give us the grace to believe, to rest in this, that he will deliver. He will deliver. May he be pleased and bless his name. You're dismissed.